I'm so thankful that you're here. I don't worry about those that aren't. I'm sure God is taking care of them, and where they are is where they're supposed to be, I'm supposing. But you're here. And I am so glad that you are. It's this time of year, in the fall, that we begin to think of Thanksgiving and remember. We begin to go back and remember, think about things in the past. And there's a good reason for it. And I chose the scripture for today simply because it says remember in it. And there are so many scriptures that talk about remembering. So before I go into my message today, I want to pray. Shall we pray at this time? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the things that you have done for us, making provision for every facet of our life. You know, spiritual, physical, emotional, all these things. You have made provision, and you will abundantly give life and all these things to us for the asking. Lord, we want to go down memory lane today and remind people of some things that they need to remember. So I ask that you will bless us, anoint us, and let the Holy Spirit work freely, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, along the theme of remembering, when you remember things, you also, there's a way of memorizing. You know, you memorize so that you can remember, or you commit to memory so that you can remember. The Ecclesiastes 12 and 1 says, remember thy Creator in the days of your youth. In the past, we have been called upon to remember certain things. For instance, March 6, 1836. Does anybody know what we have to remember there? You, of course, you don't. I know that's terrible that I did that. But Texans would say, remember the Alamo. Wouldn't they? And if you didn't know what that means, they would tell you to hand on, you know, get on back to Yankee land, because remember the Alamo was the struggle for Texas independence. And some good old South Carolinian or South Carolinian people were in the Alamo. One of the most notable ones was William Travis. Colonel William Travis was from South Carolina, and he fought and stood at the Alamo along with another man, I believe his name was Butler, from South Carolina too. So South Carolina has had a lot to do in history. This nation has been blessed with South Carolina in so many ways. And I am blessed to be in South Carolina. Then December the 7th, 1941, what do we remember? Remember Pearl Harbor. A day that will live in infamy. Now what's infamy? It's the opposite of fame. Infamous. That infamous act of the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And those that were alive will never forget it. Then, where were you when Kennedy was shot? And what day was that? Everybody remember when Kennedy was shot? November 22nd, 1963. Do you remember where you were when Kennedy was shot? Yes, I do. I was on a school bus. That's how long ago that was. 1963, I was 12. He's been gone that long, folks. Remember 9/11. A lot of things happened in November. November seems to be a pivotal time in history. the 11th day of the 11th hour of the 11th month, 1918, was the Armistice Day. And in Canada, we call Armistice Day Remembrance Day. Now down here, you call it Veterans Day. But I like Remembrance Day. Remember. And then I don't know if I've recited in Flanders Fields here or not, but some of you know that. Do you know that poem, In Flanders Fields, Poppies Blow Between the Crosses, Row on Row, that mark our place? And in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be it yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep though poppies blow and grow in Flanders Fields. Remember our veterans of our foreign wars. We have veterans of foreign wars that are under 25 that go to this congregation right here. We have veterans that are older than that. How many veterans do we have here? Yes, sir. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you for your service. Can't say it enough. And I wish Karen was here, because Karen McMahon is a veteran. You don't usually think of veterans as young people like that, but we've got some very nice young people that are over in those countries who want to harm us, and they're in harm's way for us. Remember our service people, won't you? Then some people say, remember the good old days. Remember the good old days? Well, what are the good old days? I mean, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The good old days. Remember, and at this time of the year, in November, we begin to have this Thanksgiving season, which leads us to Christmas and all the memories that are connected with these seasons gone by, good, bad. It's a happy, sad time of year, isn't it? Your emotions are so mixed in these times of remembrance. Birthdays, anniversaries, all these things. We, you know, talking about freedom, talking about our way of life, talking about the past things. In 1787, there was a Scottish professor in the University of Edinburgh in Scotland. And right around 1787, this republic that we live in today was being formed, and the Constitution was being framed. And this man said about the fall of the Greek Empire over 2,000 years earlier, this is what he said about democracy. I want you to listen to this. A democracy is always temporary in nature. It simply cannot exist as a permanent form of government. A democracy will continue to exist up until the time that voters discover they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always vote for the candidates who promise the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that every democracy will finally collapse due to loose fiscal policies, which is always followed by a dictatorship. Yes, I'll leave that one alone. Let you think about that. We need to pray for our country. We need to remember the freedoms and the liberties that we have. And they were not free. Now, the average age of the world's greatest civilizations from the beginning of history has been about 200 years. During those 200 years, those nations always progress through the following sequence. Number one, they went from bondage to spiritual faith. Number two, they went from spiritual faith to great courage. From courage to liberty. From liberty to abundance. From abundancy to complacency. From complacency to apathy. I don't know and I don't care. How often have you heard that in this world today? Leave me alone. Go away. I don't want to know. What world were we living in today? Does that sound like today? Oh, it's close. But it goes worse. It gets worse than that. It goes from apathy to dependence. And then it goes from dependence back into bondage. Where are we today? We need the Lord to come. We need a new government. We need to be ruled from above. We need to receive Christ as our Lord and Savior and begin the kingdom of heaven on earth. And the beginnings of the kingdom of heaven on earth is when each one of us turns our lives over to Christ, that kingdom grows larger and larger and larger. And when He comes, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And we will be changed in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then we, which are alive and remain, will be caught up to meet Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But it begins with individuals turning their lives and their hearts over to Jesus Christ, receiving Him as Lord and Savior, and beginning to live a life of obedience to the Word of God. Luke 17 Verse 32 says, remember Lot's wife. Remember. What can we learn from Lot's wife? What can we learn from Lot? What can we learn from that whole thing? That the world, as they knew it, was about to be destroyed. The world, as we know it, is about to be destroyed. Are we awake this morning? Do you understand the signs of the time? Jesus said to the hypocrites, you can tell whether it's going to rain or what's going to happen by looking at the sky. You can say, well, it's red. The sky is red. That means we better batten down the hatches. It's going to rain. There's going to be a storm. But he says, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. And he told a parable of 10 virgins. All of them were asleep when the midnight cry came. The bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. How many were ready and how many were not? And Jesus, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went to pray and he came back and he saw his disciples sleeping, and that is so symbolic of the church today. While Jesus is busy doing what he's supposed to be doing, are we sleeping? Are you sleeping? Are you sleeping? Brother John, Brother John, morning bells are ringing. Wake up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Remember, remember, remember. Oh, look. Then we take the communion. Oh, look at this. Look at this down here. And come up later on after the sermon and everything, and if there's any questions about it, look at this thing here. This is so symbolic. When we look at the sanctuary, what God is saying, remember, remember, I'm doing and have done and will do all this for you. And when we take the communion, he says, this eat in remembrance of me. This drink in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do remember the Lord's death until He comes. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why? God wants us to remember some things, but not to dwell there. Some people live in the past, dwell in the past, cannot forgive, cannot get out of the ruts that they're in. God does not want us to dwell in the past. He wants us to remember and learn from the past. You know how that needle gets stuck on some of those old records? It goes, We need to get past that. Some of us are so stuck in ruts that we just don't see where we're going. You know, they say a rut is a grave with both ends missing. You just keep going along that thing. You know, we've got to get out of the ruts, folks. We've got to rise above our circumstances and begin to conquer for Christ. And the only way we can conquer for Christ is to stop thinking so selfishly about ourselves and begin to look upon the needs and the necessities of other people round about you. If you get concerned about your brother and your sister's welfare, you have no time to be selfish. Jesus, when he said, who did he know and who he didn't know, did he say, well, you know all the truth and you understand all these great, and you can quote all this back and forth and you're so good in your Bible studies. Did he say that was going to be the criteria on whether you made it into heaven or not? He says, I was a stranger and you took me in naked and you clothed me. I was in prison, sick and in prison, and you visited me. And we are supposed to be saying, well, when did we do this? But it should be so second nature to us that we don't even notice we're doing it. But some will say, I did this, this, and this, and this. Don't you remember me, Lord? I healed the sick. I did this. I did many great miracles in your name. And he will say to them, I never knew you. So perfect religion and undefiled before God and the Father is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's Scripture. It's Bible. It is so hard to keep oneself unspotted from the world because the world is so pressing on every hand. We are so influenced by the world we don't even realize how worldly we are. The world is so religious and so churchy, and the church is so worldly that you cannot tell some of them apart. I don't want to be asleep at the wheel. Now, there have been some times when I've almost fallen asleep at the wheel, and Gene says, we've got to pull over, you're going to sleep. And I can remember one time driving so far that I forgot where I was and where I had been till I got there. Does that sound convoluted enough? But that's how tired I was. I started at one side of a bridge, and I didn't even know how I ever got on the other side of the bridge and arrived at my destination. I must have slept all the way. Sleep driving. Talk about sleepwalking. How did you... Oh, but we can't be asleep at the wheel. It's so dangerous. We can't afford to allow the world to die. We've got to get involved in the work of the Lord. Revelation and chapter 2, it says, remember from whence thou art fallen. And he wants us to go back to our first love. You remember your first love and how you felt when you first fell in love and how the world revolved around and the sun rose and set on the object of your affection and there wasn't anything too great or too unreasonable for you to do, that you would crawl through a field of broken glass just to smell the exhaust of the car she drove away in. I exaggerate, I think, Wilhelmina, a little bit, but you know that overwhelming thing of love where you, well, why shouldn't you feel that way all the time about the Lord Jesus? Look what he has done for us. We love him because he first loved us. And he has done so much for us. We remember him this wonderful Sabbath day. Remember what Christ has done for you. Remember where you brought me from and where I might have been. There's a song, I'm going to sing it right now. And it goes like this. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. We are human. We forget. We need to be reminded. You see people with elastics around their wrists and strings on their fingers. And what else crazy things do we do to try to remember? We asked other people to remember for us. If I forget, would you remind me? Do you know why people do that to you? So they can blame you when you forget and they forget. Would you please remind me if I forget? I'm not going to remember. But we must remember this. And it's not a kiss, it's just a kiss. But it is, we have to remember that Jesus died for the ungodly and sinner, of whom I am chief. Did you know that Jesus would have died for you if you had been the only sinner that ever was? They say that, you know, God is too busy. He's just got too much to do. No, he's not. No, he's not. He's never too busy to hear our heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. So just reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. If you understood the reality of the presence of the risen Christ in this place right now, your behavior would perk up. You'd begin to feel a tingling in your soul. Because Jesus said, I will never leave you and nor forsake you. And how is that possible? He sent us the Holy Spirit. He says, so that where I am, you may be also. He's preparing a place for us, but he's also here with us. He's building us a mansion in glory, yes, but he's building the mansion from the inside. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Our soul is the temple for Christ to live in, to dwell in. Don't you want to make him at home this morning? Don't you want to say, come in, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Live here. Stay here. Sanctify me. Thank you for justifying me. Thank you for sanctifying me. And thank you for someday you're going to glorify me. When you come, we can remember a lot of things. We can remember the Alamo. We can remember Pearl Harbor. We can remember where we were when, you fill in the blank. We can remember the good old days, holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving. We can remember all these things. But we need to remember Jesus. We need to remember what he had to go through. You know, these people that died in these foreign wars or that serve in these foreign wars or that are soldiers and those young people that are out doing that job, they're doing a wonderful thing for us. But Jesus died for all mankind. He died for me. He died for you. He died for the sins of the whole world. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Aren't you thankful this morning? And you need to take part of this. You need to actively receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, because you cannot go to heaven without him. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, he says. Make sure you're in the boat today. Make sure you're in the ark of safety. Make sure, would you? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for remembering us as you remembered Noah, as you remembered Lot, as you remembered Abraham, as you remembered Jonah in the belly of the whale, as you remembered those that were in so many types of distress and bondage, the Israelites in Egypt. You remembered your people and you delivered them. And Lord, we as a people are crying out for deliverance. We're crying out for salvation. We're crying out for healing. We're crying out for so many needs because of the distress that is coming upon this world. We need to have something solid to hold on to. And Father, we're asking that you make us realize the reality of your soon return, and that all things that we are now looking upon are temporary and are going to be destroyed. So we look up to you, Lord. Give us a hope that passes all understanding, and help us to realize where we are and what we must do to allow you to transform us into your glorious image. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And shall we sing?